Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Laugh as we go and see ya. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, America? Yeah, I know it's been a minute since you all heard my voice, and I know y'all would like to know what's been going on. Been doing a lot of traveling, you know. Me doing my Black Voice for Trump out there stumping for the big guy and all like that. But I wrote a book, Tillman's Handbook on Great Black American Patriots. You should go out there and get it, especially for the holidays. And Pianki checked in. I know a lot of y'all have been asking when I was going to come back on because you enjoy my mother's programming, and I've been giving that in a lot of other shows. Y'all been going back and forth, especially the music programming. But I took a break because I was touring America trying to see really if Black America, I know I have a big white audience, but if Black America was ready for the new switch. What I mean by the new switch, there's an old switch all of America was on. And in my book, I'm trying to address it, and now they're bringing it forthright with the CRT stuff, right? Where they're trying to make Black kids back at the bus or inferior, and white people quote-unquote superior. So I was trying to see where the Black community was at. Were they accepting CRT? Were they against CRT? I was trying to see where the black community was at when they was closing churches. Were they with opening churches or closing churches? You know, so it's been a lot of tests. Like even with these bathrooms, do black men want their sons or daughters, excuse me, to go into bathrooms with men? Or do these men want their boys to be in grammar school, preschool, and subjected to puberty blockers and stuff like that? So I've been going around just testing to see where people are at, especially during this election, because really that was at stake this past election. Really, when people ask me why was I stumping hard for Trump before he became president, and the choice was so obvious to me because a lot of my friends are tripping, and I guess they didn't have the information and thought I was lying. Like even Tammy Duckworth had the shirt on, "You can pee next to me." They were screaming at the Democratic National Convention before when Hillary Clinton was running that they was going to, the first they was get rid of the God out their platform, which they did. And then they was going to push transgender bathrooms and trisexual bathrooms. So that was it for me. I didn't want no laws or legislation to be put forth to stop me from being a man. Now, a lot of people like to say there's this demasculinization of men out there. And that could be true. But I didn't want no laws to be passed making it a crime for me to go protect my mother, my sister, my daughter, my woman, or any female in my family if somebody decides to put a dress on and go pull this stuff out in front of some ladies. And if you can realize, as soon as Trump got elected, that was off the, that was gone. But now it's the front page thing. And you can't complain about it. You can't complain about it if you voted for the people that's orchestrating it. You know, and it's hard when a lot of people have hate. You see, hate is so blindful that you'll be blinded. You can hate so much in your heart that when the truth comes to you or the light comes to you, you'd rather be stuck in the darkness of hate. Now, most people enjoy hating Trump and rather accept the progress that was making, police reform, college fulfillment, funding, criminal justice reform, low price insulin, you know, low housing, I mean, low black unemployment. I mean, high job. You can go on low gas, all that stuff, money in pocket, FICA going, all that. You can say, I don't care because this man got to go. Even his track record was locking up blacks, taking your blacks' constitutional rights. He was the one that made it easy for no-knock warrants, when it made it easier for illegal search and seizure. You see, even though a lot of blacks applauded these laws, the bottom line was they were making an example out of American citizens by removing their constitutional rights. Now, a lot of people applauded that. Now it's boomeranging. A lot of blacks, a lot of whites, and now they're realizing that, oh, I have rights. But, well, no, you ain't got no rights when you applauded within another section of the community, which you've probably found undesirable, which was your sons and grandchildren out there hanging on a block. You telling them, get them off my block, even though you have a right to gather in the country. Now you got cops coming and break it up, beating guys down, what have you. Now children grow up telling their children that you can't do that. You don't have no rights to do that, even though you have those rights. You know, so you got people for years and years and years passing laws, was taking laws away from us that are given to us, and we be used for example. So I was out there just touring to see where black America was and where black America is at. Now, a lot of people was tripping on me because, like, man, Jim Lee, you over there with them white folks. What's up with you, Jim? Man, why are you with them white people? But what most people understand. There was a time here in Illinois where they put us on lockdown, shut everything down. So you can go to schools, you can go to work, you can go to church. So I went around the black community trying to find somebody to stand up with me. And at that time, I wasn't no every day, every Sunday church-going individual. But I knew that I have a right to worship in this country, and that one day my kids, I want my kids to go to church. And you're going to tell me that the way I worship, the way my grandmother taught me, everybody taught me, my kids can't go have that practice. So I got pissed off. Went to church, trying to find pastor, but not knowing they took money to stay closed. I found one pastor I went to school with, small little church, and he stood with me. So I went there and I found a bunch of white people who loved their God also, and found it deplorable that they couldn't worship their God the way they wanted to worship. So they stood with me, and we fought for the right to worship, which is a constitutional right. So that's why I was over there, folks, because it's about your rights. And anywhere someone's standing up with me for my rights, which are your rights, then I'm rolling with them. You see, people fail to realize when King came up north, he was gathering all those white preachers and hitting them on Christianity, like, stand with me. How can you be a Christian? All this stuff going on here. Because you got to get to understand that if they do it to me, they're going to do it to you. And that has been the little story of us in here. We get together and we decide to get rid of our rights and say we hate the country that we're here for and try to subject ourselves back to slavery. I've been calling it the Southern strategy. But today, we're going to deal with election integrity and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Two sneaky, linky, dinky acts that they're trying to slip in upon the masses. Now, some of the masses might want these rinky, dinky, slinky things in, but I'm not talking about the loud masses. I'm talking about the uneducated masses of African American descended of slaves that migrate up here from the north with a boss mentality that I need a boss man to tell me what to do. I'm talking to those people right there. I'm talking to those people that think that all blacks in America was under servitude, not knowing that free blacks came from the north and free blacks down from the south. I'm talking to those people right there. So we're going to educate those people and let them know that, hey, when the Supreme Court sent the Voting Rights Act bill down when Barack Obama was in office, what he was trying to say is that the Voting Rights Act was really to ensure that the African descendant of slaves had equal protection under the law to vote. Not everybody else. So if they want to sneak like the Latinos and all the illegal immigrants, what they tried to do and push it up to the Supreme Court, it got knocked back. And Supreme Court said, if you want to do it, change the law. But what the Democratic Party sneakily ain't doing is trying to put it in the law. They want to give us this brand new law and describe it on this quote-unquote civil rights icon, who's all he's known for is what? It's on the bridge. I can go back in many historical points of views in that time of civil rights mission. I cannot mention, I can't see John Lewis and SNCC. I can't see John Lewis, SCLC. I can't see John Lewis in none of these things that I've seen and studied, you know. But I ain't going to diss because I don't know everything, but I do be trying to look back and stuff. But let's say he was on Bloody Sunday and he fought for it. There was a lot of people on that bridge also, but I'm not even tripping on that. But what they're trying to do is use this individual to pass these little laws in. And what we really think that is unfair. So what we're going to do is bring in, after this break, we're going to put a little music break, Mr. Man. What we're going to do is bring in Mother D, we call her Mama D. We're going to bring, I like to call her Professor D because she's a historian. She is quite studied, learned in the art of not only Black American history, but world history. And we're going to bring her on because I couldn't think of nobody Black like me who can tell the people or educate the people on what this law is, because, you know, y'all know I'm Republican, y'all know where I'm riding at, but, you know, I'm not going to give Mama D political persuasion, but, you know, she on there with the, I don't say Black Revolutionary, I hope I'm not scaring you, Mama D, like that and bring you on, but, you know, she's blacker than Ebony, not my sister, but what Ebony Black is, right? So, you're not getting no ancient mama, booka, 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 booka. I'm just throwing some out there. What you're going to get is some information for somebody who's learned, who's studied, and whose life accomplishment is for fighting for the rights of Black people. And she do not want her race of people, my race of people, our people, even American people, to be fooled on what they're trying to slip under us under guise of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play my theme song, since I was talking about, you know, me fighting for the right to go to church up the Ebony, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I got it queued up, but dig it, since we got some new, we're gonna go video right now, you know, we trying to upgrade our new studio. We got new equipment. Don't I sound fresh? Y'all know I sound good, right? And so we trying everything out. That's why we came on the late hour and stuff like that, behind the screen scenes. We're gonna try to go video. We're gonna try to do a lot of stuff. We're going to have a lot of candidates coming on that's running in the GOP. We're going to let y'all know what Jim Lee is doing. Producers gave me a note. You can go to the Martin Luther King Republicans webpage to see what we're doing. And you can go to Jimmy Lee the DC webpage. That's me. And check me out. But also, TillmanFamilyPress.com, and don't forget to get the book on Great American Patriots. We'll be back with the great world fabulous Mother D. Ebony, give it to me.
Back in a plate, I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running.
All right, all right. You got me? Give me. Am I fresh, clear? Still sound good? Yeah, we got a little investment. Yeah, it's God's country. And so I'd like to let everybody know this is a creator's country. You know, and in America, we do have rights given us to by us by the Most High. And what they're doing to America, everybody is dragging us down. If you cannot recognize what is wrong and what's right and what's wrong, when they say trust the science, and the science says that male is a male and a female is a female, and men, only a female can reproduce, not a man. Men do not wear sanitation napkins, nor can they have babies. And I'm on my soapbox. I don't want to go there, but, you know, I got a fear. See, I have a grandson, you know, and he's not even double-digit numbers. He's not even first, second grade numbers, kindergarten numbers. And now my fear is if this continue, he'd come home, hey, Pop, Grandpa, Papa, look at my woman. You know, we're about to get married. Yeah, yeah. And next thing he find out that this girl, who probably forgot a long time ago, which is 2 or 3, that she was a boy. Maybe 4 or 5 that she's a boy. Her memories might be long gone. Wondering why she can't conceive, and the doctor said, well, you was a boy. Or a man, is there something that, I mean, people can't see this evil, but I don't want to get on there. You can find my book at Frontline Bookstores in Hyde Park and on 64th of Cottage Grove. And tomorrow it should be an underground bookstore. But let me bring in Mama D right here. Hello, Mama D. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Fine, fine. I can hear you. That's good. That's good. What I've got you on tonight to educate my audience, because I got a broad range of audience, black, white, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican, and stuff like that, and explain to them why this John Lewis voting rights bill is wrong. And we can go any way you want to go there. And then want to wrap it up with election integrity, you go ahead on, because I felt that there, if there's somebody who can probably educate my audience, because they really don't know what's going on, Mama D. And a lot of people don't give you enough time to really drop it down to them. So I want to give you all the time I can to let my people know what's going on. Go on there, Mama D. It's on you. Tell them what's happening.
Well, first of all, I want to say hallelujah greetings to you, and thank you, and I'm very grateful to you for allowing me to share your sacred space that allows us to go into all the world and teach on the good news. I'm the host of Wisdom with Mama D, Wisdom, Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will are mothers too. I want to get off on the good foot, and I want to get off on the foot of truth. And just let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am the person who created the idea and personally wrote the ordinance and lobbied 3.5 years to get Emmett Till Road and resurrect his legacy that had been buried for 30 years. I also put in the proposal to change McCosh Elementary, where Emmett attended his last school. He was in the 8th grade. It is now Emmett Till Math and Science Academy. I started an effort that I might go back to put Emmett and his mom on a United States postage stamp. I brought it to Alderman Rush a long time ago, and he said Mrs. May McKeel Mobley had not been dead for 10 years and he couldn't do it, but I could put Emmett on by himself. I said, no, it was what his mother's did. His mother's actions is what caused us to know about what happened to her son. So it hasn't been done before, but I think that I might go back and resurrect that thought. And I wanted to tell you I've been a freedom fighter since the age of 5, when I refused to give up my seat on the front of the bus 5 years before Rosa Parks, and that was 71 years ago. So that's a little bit about my background. But I like to get, when I say hallelujah greetings, I'm talking about the Most High praise. You had talked about a little bit about morality and boys having to have tampons in the boys' bathrooms because there are some girl wannabes that are still on a monthly. They need the tampons because whatever they're telling themselves, you know, I could never really comprehend it. If God, Yah God, put you in the wrong body, then you take that up with Yah God. Government should not have anything to do with that. So, but you were using this, what I call the K word. I went on a Kick the K Word campaign at one time because, see, no one gave us the moral authority to rename our children animals and to call animals boys and girls. Come here, boy. Come here, girl. That's what we do to dogs. But to children, we can no longer say boy or girl. The teacher doesn't come into the classroom anymore and say, well, good morning, boys and girls. That has been outlawed. And the Ten Commandments says, honor your mother and your father. Well, guess what? Same sex can marry, but they can never be honored as mothers and fathers because to be same sex, it means two mamas and two daddies. So there's nothing new under the sun. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. But I wanted to start out by saying it is written in that Black History Bible book whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face that my people have been led astray. And that is what is happening with the John Lewis Voters' Rights Advancement Act. And there's another John Lewis bill that I think you ought to check out, and that is the John Lewis Right to Family Act. And that is a bill to give homosexuals who cannot produce children on their own, well, they can if they borrow some two men and they borrow an egg from a woman and put it in a test tube, and when the baby is born, they throw away the mama part. Or they, two women, they want to be parents, they borrow some sperm from a male and put it in a test tube, and when the child is born, they throw away the daddy part, and the child becomes 50% of a part. And if it was wrong for us to be 3/5 of a human being, it is wrong for a child to be 50% of a human being. And we can think it's just horrible that not life will begin.
No, only him. No, let's talk about it. But I was talking to my daughter today, and like back, trust the science, trust the science. It's funny what you're saying that about how they can just take a male sperm, a male seed, and inseminate somebody and can say they're pregnant. And I was talking to my daughter how people say trust the science, they don't believe in the science. Now, I'm not saying this happened. I'm not saying this happened. It's hard for somebody to believe that the Virgin Mary was pregnant and didn't know no man. But nowadays, you can give a woman who knew no man and inseminate her too. and can say that this man all of a sudden had the miracle morality of birth, but you can't believe that a Virgin Mary did the same thing. I'm just saying science is science. We don't know what type of thing they had back there. I'm just saying that. I just put it out there just to be saying how if they trust the science, trust biology, and something, science and biology has been separated and split up because science is something that man is throwing out there and changing for some reason, and they are missing biology. You know, the way God designed biology, we need some masculine and feminine to create life. It's as if they are creating death. It's like they're creating a whole generation that wants A, that can't reproduce, and you know, it's going to be fruitful and multiply. That's the first charge that God gave us. One, we can't reproduce, and two, we have no idea what we are or who we are. You have a whole generation of a future generation if these laws continue of people not knowing what they are and won't be able to find out what they are because they have no idea what their parents did to them when they came out or how they were created. You know, in my time, there's something called a test tube baby. The first time you can have a baby in a test tube without male or female. But I'm saying, but yet it's hard to believe the miracles and miracles that, you know, that the Most High and that he's done and seeing all the things that you said there. But let's talk about that John Lewis act you said about the homosexual act.
Okay.
That slipped past me. I'll be honest with you. It passed me. Go on ahead. Talk about that.
So let's get back to, we can wrap this conversation up about the test tube. The thing is that K-word, a kid, animal, beast with four legs, a baby goat, a child is a human being with two legs. And what has happened, no one gave anybody the moral authority to take our children out of the image and likeness of the Creator and put them in the image and likeness of a beast, animal beast, by the power of life and death that's in our tongue. I wanted to get that out there because we came up with that habit. And when you ask yourself, well, what is a kid? It's neither a boy nor a girl. It's an it. So once we started going down that slippery slope, that's where we are today. So getting back to the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, what that does is, well, first of all, let me just say that the only people in America are not bilingual that those are the ones that were kidnapped from a continent and given the name Negro by the transatlantic slave founding fathers, Spaniards, because it means black. Negro means black in Spanish. So everybody else over here, they came from a country with a land and a language, and they came by choice. We're the only ones snatched from a continent and came in chains. Now, that's relevant to the John Lewis Voting Rights Act because English is actually not an official language in America. But in order and legally vote, you must be born in America or pass a naturalized citizenship test. And that test requires that you speak, read, and write in English. Well, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act nullifies that requirement. So and it is limited to three groups of people. And those three groups of people, when I tried to bring this up on the radio, I've been cut off, so I'll just cover language minority. This category that they have added to the John Lewis Rights Voting Rights Advancement Act, they have added a category called membership in a language minority group. It says the covered language minorities are limited to. That means can't anybody else get on this? it's limited to American Indians, Asian Americans, Alaskan Natives, and Spanish heritage citizens. The groups that Congress, not the people, but Congress found to have faced barriers in the political process. Now, did you notice that there's a group, African Americans, and this group includes Jamaicans, Haitians, Nigerians, Ethiopians, etc. But they come from a land with language. When they were down in the under the viaduct, the Haitians had a problem because people didn't speak their language. However, they are not in the three groups that I learned, that I mentioned. And the reason that's important is because you need to know who those three groups are, so who they consist of. So when you're talking about Native Americans, they come with a group of people. And the American Indians or Alaskan Natives, they consist of Navajo Nation, the Blackfeet Tribe, Mayans, Native Village, Traditional Government, Eskimo. And when it talks about the Asian Americans, they could Chinese, Filipinos, Asian Indians, Vietnamese, Koreans, Japanese, Native Hawaiians, Somalians, Cambodians, Pakistan, and other Pacific Islanders. And when it talks about the Spanish origin, now that includes Hispanic, which can be black or white, Mexican, Latinos, Puerto Ricans, Cambodians, Salvadorians, Dominicans, Guatemalans, Ecuadorians, and Spaniards. Now, these are countries. These of Haiti and Jamaica, they are not included, but these people are included. And they, if, in order to vote legally in a federal, state, or local election, you must be born in America, or you must pass the naturalized citizenship test, requires you to read, write, and speak English. The John Lewis bill nullifies that. It says, oh, no, you don't have to speak English. Now when you go to the polling places, everything must, let me read this paragraph. The requirements of the law are straightforward. All election information that is available in English must also be available in minority language so that all citizens will have an effective opportunity and right to vote. So that means in newspapers, wherever you see anything, you've got to put it in all of these languages. And it's already posing a problem. But I hope that by naming these three categories, we found out who the people of color are, because they omitted the black people. But we thinking we are people of color. Did you kind of get that? The ones I named?
Yes, I did. Yes,
they
I did.
They have a color brown. They have a color red. They have a color.
Now, I'm going to get this break because I got 2 minutes. I'm going to go take a little commercial break. But let me get this straight now. I want everybody to get a quick, make sure you're paying attention, information. Now, here in America, in order to be a citizen, you must pass, if you are a foreigner, that means you came here to America, hook, crook, or what have you. In order to be a citizen here in this country, you must first learn to speak the language. And that's the first step to acquire citizenship here. And so I want to make sure I understand this. They are going around the Constitution and trying to pass a law stating that we must alter our voting habits and rights for non-English speaking citizens, when to be a citizen of America, you have to speak English. So first of all, what they're doing is going around the Constitution. Am I correct, Mama D? Is that you trying to say that they're stating?
Well, it's...
Go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead, please.
Yes, absolutely. See, it says, in order, you two ways to citizenship, be born in America. And this is what was granted in the 14th Amendment. In the 14th Amendment, after the 13th Amendment, that changed, that abolished individual ownership of slaves and changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration. That was the 13th Amendment. And then the 14th Amendment said, if you are born in this country, you are a citizen. Because only the red man and the black man, the savage and the slave, could be born in America and still not be citizens in the land of their birth. So the 14th Amendment changed
that's the anchor baby law that the what the illegal immigrants are using, that once their child is born here in America, that grants them citizenship. But one of my people, my audience, understand that that law was not written for immigrants sneaking over, coming over here. That law was to make, like Mother D said, the first of those savages or Indians, what have you, but the just acquired new freed slaves to give them and their children full citizenship. That is what that was for. Am I correct, Mama D?
Now, if you are born in here, if they come in over here pregnant, so that when the baby is born here, the Constitution says, if the 14th Amendment says, if you are born, it doesn't say by who your parents are, if you are born in America, you are a citizen. If a baby is 5 months in the womb or 4 months in the womb and he is born, he is a citizen. And you can't abort it. You can't kill it. Every citizen, every person born in America is a citizen. So you had to take your break, right?
No.
Let me get.
I won't cut you off now. Go ahead.
Okay. The English test has three components: reading, writing, and speaking. For the reading test, you must read one of three sentences correctly to demonstrate an ability to read in English. And it goes on to, you also must take the, I should have started it at the top. You will also have to take an English and civics test. And it says that the English test has three components: reading, writing, and speaking. For the reading test, you must read one out of three sentences correctly to demonstrate an ability to read in English. And it says for the writing test, you must write one out of three sentences correctly to demonstrate an ability to write in English. So if you have been over here in those three groups that's included in the membership, you've been over here all your life. And you have to be at least 18 to register and vote legally. That's the legal age to vote. So all your life, and you can't speak English, and you still owe your allegiance to the country that you came from, that's way out of order. So if you are a born citizen here and you've been living in America for 18 years and you don't know how to speak English, shame on you.
Right, so
and
now
you
this
cannot.
Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. I don't control. Go ahead, and you cannot finish, please.
Go ahead.
No. I just want to make sure.
So,
go ahead.
So let's be So let me be clear about it. All of these people that they have imported over here under the guise of they are taking jobs that we don't want, but we had those jobs before they came. We were working in the restaurants. We were working in the hotel and in the currency exchanges and in the grocery store. Now we can't get those jobs because it's bilingual, two English, two languages, and you speak one because English is your mother tongue language. And so we're the only ones that can make sure we file a lawsuit so that we demand that English becomes the official language in America, which it is not. But everybody over here, but the kidnapped captives from the continent are coming from a country with a land and a language. So
right,
it's time that we said, no.
All right, I see the break here. I'll be back in a minute. I'm there. Let's take a break.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus, children. Jesus loves you. Jesus, children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story fast. And if you like it, it will come to pass. Tell me,
hardly a day goes by that someone of prominence, a politician, a talk show host, an entertainer, doesn't call some conservative or conservatives generally, racist. Here are typical examples. The chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Congressman Steve Israel. To a significant extent, conservatives are animated by racism. TV newscaster Ed Schultz. This is what the Republican Party stands for. Racism. Oprah Winfrey. There's a level of disrespect for the office that occurs in some cases, and maybe even many cases, because the president is African American. There's no question about that. To call someone a racist should be a very serious matter. A racist is a person who believes that one race is inherently superior or inferior to another. It's not intelligence or goodness that determines an individual's worth. It's his or her skin color. To say that racism is foolish and stupid, not to mention evil, is to understate the case. But according to many of their critics, conservatives are that stupid and that evil. But with few exceptions, conservatives are neither. So why is the charge even made? The answer is primarily political, to maintain black support for liberals and liberal policies. To back up this charge, the accusers point to conservative policies. So let's examine some conservative policies to see if they are, indeed, racist. The longstanding conservative opposition to affirmative action is a good place to start. It was Democratic President John F. Kennedy who first used the term affirmative action in 1961. But affirmative action, in the way we think of it now, wasn't implemented until 1970, during the administration of a Republican president, Richard Nixon. The theory was that, because of historical discrimination, blacks were at a competitive disadvantage to other races and ethnicities. To erase that disadvantage, standards that most blacks presumably couldn't meet had to be lowered. One could make the case that this policy had some utility when it was first put in place. But that was a long time ago. The conservative position is that blacks have repeatedly proven they can compete with anyone without the benefits, demeaning benefits, I might add, of lower standards. There are countless examples of black success in every field at every level. The policy is no longer necessary. But the conservative argument goes further. Study after study shows that, in the case of college admissions, affirmative action actually hurts many blacks. By lowering admission standards for blacks and some other minority students, colleges set many of these students up for failure. They get placed in schools for which they're not prepared. And high black dropout rates confirm this view. So does common sense. If white students with mediocre SAT scores were admitted to Ivy League schools, they too would be set up to fail. Let's do the math. Conservatives believe that blacks and other minorities are every bit as capable as whites of succeeding as policemen, firemen, businessmen, lawyers, doctors, politicians, and college students. Yet for this belief, conservatives are called racist. The irony, of course, is that those who accuse conservatives of being racist believe that blacks and other minorities are not as capable as whites of succeeding and therefore still need affirmative action, almost a half century after it was first implemented. Let's look at another issue where this contrast between conservatives and those who accuse them of being racist is even more starkly drawn. Voter ID. Conservatives say that America should require that every voter present an ID when he or she votes, just as European countries do in order to help keep their elections honest. Are all these democracies racist? Of course not. Yet the accusers say that conservatives who support voter ID are racist. Why do they say this? Because, they argue, it's really a ruse to prevent blacks and other minorities from voting, since many of them just aren't capable of acquiring an ID. Can you get more condescending than that? Let's be real. You need an ID to drive, to fly, to buy a beer, even to purchase some cold medicines. Whites can do it, but blacks can't? Tell me who the racists are again? One more example. It's conservatives who push for school vouchers, which would allow all parents, not just wealthy ones, to choose their children's school. It's the other side that doesn't trust minority parents to select an appropriate school for their children. Why aren't the people who compel black children to stay in terrible schools the racists? At some point, maybe you'll start asking yourself, like I did, who's really obsessed with race? And whose policies really hurt blacks and minorities? Maybe it's not who you think it is. I'm Derek Green of Project 21 for Prager University.
The American Civil War ended in 1865, and a new conflict immediately began. The North won the first war, the South won the second. To truly understand American history, one needs to understand how this happened and why. The years immediately following the end of the Civil War, 1865 to 1877, are known in American history as Reconstruction. What should have been a glorious chapter in America's story, the full integration of 3.9 million freed slaves, instead became a shameful one. It began with the assassination of Republican President Abraham Lincoln. 1 week after the Civil War effectively ended, the one man with the political savvy and shrewdness to have guided Reconstruction was gone. His successor was Vice President Andrew Johnson, a Tennessee Democrat. Johnson was the rare Southern politician who stayed loyal to the Union during the Civil War. Lincoln added him to his reelection ticket in 1864 as a gesture of wartime bipartisanship, but Johnson was wholly unprepared for the task. Under his Reconstruction plan, the defeated rebels would be allowed to return to power, almost as if they had never left. The only requirement to rejoin the Union was that they agree to ratify the 13th Amendment that abolished slavery. This was fine with the old Southern Democratic ruling class. By agreeing to abolish slavery, they would actually increase their political power. Whereas the Constitution's old three-fifths clause limited slave states to counting only three-fifths of their slaves for the purpose of determining representation in Congress, after the Civil War, the Southern states were able to count 100% of the freed slaves. This would ensure the return to Congress of Southern Democrats and in even greater numbers than before the rebellion, allowing them, with the help of their Democratic Party allies in the North, to fight Republican efforts to secure the citizenship rights of the former slaves. Johnson's plan set off 3 years of bitter political warfare. The Republicans in Congress created their own congressional Reconstruction plan. Still in the overall majority there, they reorganized 10 of the Southern states into military occupation zones, requiring them to write new state constitutions that recognized black civil rights before they could be readmitted to the Union. Over fierce Democratic opposition, the Republicans also managed to pass two new amendments to the Constitution, the 14th and 15th Amendments, guaranteeing due process in law and voting rights in elections. Those rights enabled the former slaves to help elect new state governments, to hold office, and even to send the first black representatives and senators to Congress, all Republicans. Most important, in 1869, with the help of 500,000 votes from newly enfranchised blacks, a new Republican president, Ulysses S. Grant, took office. Grant was solidly behind the Congressional Reconstruction Plan. But a new problem arose. Disgruntled Southern whites organized themselves into ad hoc militias to terrorize Southern blacks and their white Republican supporters into silence. The largest and most famous of these militias went by a still familiar name, the Ku Klux Klan. President Grant fought the Klan and other like-minded terror groups, but the fight required an extended military intervention to keep the peace, and that cost time and money. Grant also had to deal with Northern Democrats, who were sympathetic to Southern racism. With each new election, 1868, 1870, and 1872, they gained more congressional seats and more power. And then in 1873, a major financial depression began. Economically desperate, anxious to put the remnants of the Civil War behind them, voters gave control of the House of Representatives back to the Democrats in the 1874 midterm elections. Grant left office in 1877. Soon after, the last Republican state governments in the South were overthrown. Black voters were disenfranchised, Jim Crow racial segregation became the order, and the South returned to social and economic backwardness. What could we have done better? First, we should have imposed a real occupation on the defeated Confederacy until a new political generation grew up in the South, which learned a newer lesson about race and rights than white supremacy. Second, We should have gotten land ownership into the hands of the freed slaves and brought the South into the same world of free markets, economic mobility, small-scale manufacturing and industry that Lincoln's Republicans advocated. But the truth is that the North had won the war, but the South had won the peace. That's the real story of Reconstruction. I'm Alan Gelzo, professor of American history at Gettysburg College for Prager University.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
If we only stay down there and held the land, gave some land up, what would we have been today? What would happen if Grant would have got a second term? What would have happened? How would life be for the Black American here? How would it be? But this is this historian's take on it. Like he said, the North won the war, but the South won the peace, and the South got to tell their story. And that's why here in America, all Blacks think they were enslaved, because the South got to tell their story. Again, you can go to TillmanFamilyPress.com and get my book, Tillman's Handbook on Great Black American Patriots, and you can see how from the beginning of this country, from Christmas Addicts to Phyllis Wheatley to Benjamin Banneker to the great Prince Hall. You see, what most people don't realize is that Prince Hall had property, government contracts, voted for George Washington. Phyllis Wheatley, encouraging letters to General Washington to not give up at the time when the General Washington, that is, had second doubts about what he was going to do. Here's this great black woman encouraging him. But let the Southern strategists tell you that blacks couldn't read, write, or think. They're not going to tell you that Bishop Richard Allen was teaching blacks in the South how to read through hymns. You see, they was reading through hymns. They was allowed to read the Bible. So dig this. There were people in the South reading blacks, preachers. You see, there's a narrative that's told out there is why most blacks, let me give you straight up. I was under that impression until I got enlightened and got knowledge of self, real knowledge of self, and realizing I was a slave and that in America, there are two Americas, one in the North and the South, and people failed to realize that a lot of people in the South escaped slavery to the North for freedom. But in a minute, they're going to let you know that we're all slaves and there's no freedom, and that was it. But we're going, that's for another show. Need some whatever. What we're going to do, thank you. What we're going to deal with is how this John Lewis Voting Rights Act is a bill that is allowing illegal immigrants to participating in electing our representatives. Now, what this bill is trying to do is get around the Constitution, because like the great professor was telling us, that citizenship, you have to be either born here or pass a written. And he says you got to learn to read and speak the language. And then you got generations of people who can't read. And now you have here America trying to pass a law to give legal citizens opportunity to vote by allowing them to have foreign languages on our election ballots, by saying that in order to get a job sweeping and mopping, you have to be bilingual, by not teaching Spanish to kids in school. But why should it teach Spanish to kids in American schools when this is America? The only time you have to teach your children a foreign language is that if you have been conquered. Now, is the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill one of the ways of conquering Americans by providing illegal citizens opportunity to dictate our leaders and to get laws favorable to their way? Like here in Chicago, they're trying to get the illegal immigrants to vote on the school board. J.B. Pritzker is trying to make Illinois a sanctuary state. So we're giving illegal immigrants rights. And so what we're doing is we're creating a legal island, a legal state, a legal city, which provides legal citizens rights to take part in dictating what law that goes not only in the city, not only in the state, but possibly America, which is unconstitutional. Now, I don't know a whole lot about it, but we're going to have Mama D talk about that, because pretty soon, probably after January, I'm trying to get some people together and see if we can get Jesse White before he exits and somebody in the county to eradicate all the illegal immigrants off the voting rights, off the voting rolls. Because here in Illinois, once you get an ID, you're automatically registered to vote. It shouldn't be that difficult to eradicate the rolls. And if the county knows who's taking part in the election are going to let the immigrants also vote, that's going to put them on the rolls also. But let's go here. If we're going to do that, then fuck it. Let's get voter ID. Straight up, that's the only way you can secure this. But that's another question for another day. You should have beat that, Ebony. But we're going to talk to Professor Mother D again, and we're going to discuss more about this John Lewis Voting Rights Act and a little bit more about election integrity, because, again, like I say, she's been knee-deep between the sheets and the wires with this better than I have. And I swear to God, I thought I was on every policy. She's talking about the John Lewis bills is allowing homosexuality to come to explain that. You know, just speak on that just for a little bit, Mama D. We can go back to that, and I'm about to bring you in right now. Go ahead, Professor Mother D. It's on you.
Thank you. Well, let me just say, have you ever read the United States Senate and Congress apology for enslavement and Jim Crow segregation laws, which actually, by definition, it was genocide. But anyhow, it was issued June 18, 2009, as the United States Senate and Congress apologized for slavery that they left, put in a disclosure, no reparations for you. But six Asians get killed, and within weeks, there was a anti-hate Asian bill that came with $50 million. When nine people were slaughtered in a church, what did they get? We forgive you. And he didn't even ask for no forgiveness because he was trying to start a race war. And you got the president singing Amazing Grace. See, that's the kind of stuff that they are putting before us.
How about this,
how
about this, Professor? They also are trying to pass a bill where they're going to give every Hispanic $459,000. But yet you said they couldn't get reparations of black Americans. But here they're about to pass a law to try to give, quote-unquote, reparations to Hispanics for being separated at the border. Isn't that funny? I'm just saying.
Oh,
go
ahead. These sanctuary settlers, this is something. You break into the country, we can hardly survive a broken taillight. You bring your children with you, exposing them to harm, and then say because America didn't have any family jails to put you and your children, now we are going to sue and give them $450,000, well, a per child. Or $1 million per family. Well, see, that's 450,000 reasons why I will never vote Democrat. But getting back to something that was said during the announcement, the June 18, 2009 U.S. Senate and Congress apology for slavery and Jim Crow laws, because after 46 years of being a movable property thing called chattel, they would say, you can go now. There was no job, no money, no home, no family, no education, no transportation, not even a pair of shoes to pull yourself up by bootstraps. And the first crime was the crime of going from 100% employment to not having a job. So vagrancy, you could serve anywhere from one year to life behind bars because you didn't have a job. But, and then that was followed by 88 years of what the apology says. I want to read three short paragraphs from this apology for those who need to get your own copy, June 18, 2009. It says, whereas Africans were forced into slavery, were brutalized, humiliated, dehumanized, in dignity of being stripped of their names and heritage. Now, this is where we are today. We are the only people over here. We are not immigrants. We were stolen from a continent. So, and our names, as stated right here in this United States Senate and Congress apology, was taken from us. Our tribal names inheritance was stolen. So the our mother tongue language is American. If you come from China, you got a language. If you came from Europe, if you came from Scotland, wherever you came from a country. We were stolen from the continent. And we're the only ones that can demand and get English as the official language in America. Otherwise, we will suffer irreparable harm. And it adds insult to injury to say, well, you all can learn Spanish. What's wrong with you? But why can't you learn it? Why in the world should we have to learn another language to accommodate some border breakers who have broken into the country? They were not counted as three-fifths of a human being. They were counted as full human beings, not even citizens or anybody else, but they can stand up and say, well, we got the numbers. We want to have two wards that the black people now have. We want to put them over into the Latino wards because we got the numbers. And then on top of that, they're saying, now the Asians are saying, well, we want a ward. So all the three wards that they want are taken away from black people. And what are they saying? Well, your numbers are down. Well, you see, our numbers wouldn't be so down if we would use what Ron Emanuel used when he wanted to run for mayor in the city. The Board of Elections ruled he had not abandoned his residency, because his residency was Washington, D.C. for 4 years. But because the courts ruled he had not abandoned his residency, because he left his grandfather's coat of many colors in the crawl space, but the people that had rented out his house said there is no crawl space with any of that in it, but the courts wouldn't check it. They just said he intended to come back to his residency, so he has not abandoned it. Therefore, he can run for the mayor of the city of Chicago. So all we have to do is say,
Let's cut you off, but do your friends or do anybody that you hang around with, I'm hearing that, you know, the foreign language, and we know they're not teaching this in high school, they're not teaching it in grammar school, and it's a requirement to get the basic jobs. Do your friends and your people that you hang with, associate with, are they aware that the Biden administration is trying to give almost $500,000 to immigrants? And if they are, what are they saying?
Well, see, you have the bully pulpit. Now WVON, they went from the voice of the Negro to the voice of the nation. Now they're the voice of black and brown. Now they've had aldermen come up and say, hey, look, there is no black and brown. See, what happened to us didn't happen to everybody. It only happened to us. And discrimination is totally different from dehumanization. But what has happened is we are so needy that we want to laws for everybody. Where everybody, what happened to us didn't happen to everybody. But we're fighting for laws that concern everybody, and that's one of our problems. But getting back to what I said three paragraphs, it says that whereas the emancipation from 246 years of enslavement soon saw the fleeting political, social, and economic gains they made during Reconstruction, invigorated by virulent racism, lynchings, disenfranchisement, black codes, and racial segregation laws that imposed a rigid system of officially sanctioned racial segregation in virtually all of life. And then it goes on to say, an African American continued to suffer from the consequences of slavery and Jim Crow laws long after both systems were abolished, and the vestiges still exist today. So what I'm saying, long story short, we have to amend this John Lewis bill. If they're going to add all of these other people from all of the Asians and Native Americans and Latinos, they have to include the Nigerians, the Jamaicans, and not limit it to three categories. These are categories that are in competition with us as voters. But getting back to our numbers would change, because when you're incarcerated, I said earlier that individual ownership of slaves were changed into institutional ownership through incarceration. When you're locked up in these prisons, those prisons are counted as among the population. So little towns with 500 people and a prison population of 5,000, it becomes 5,500 residents. So getting back to the Ron Emanuel bill, if you intend to come back to your house because you left your car in the backyard and you left the pictures on the wall and the carpet on the floor, if you intend to come back, then you should be counted as that is your residence, just like Ron Emanuel was. So then that would change our political numbers. If the people were counted as coming back instead of being counted in the prison population. But
let me take a break, Mama D. Hold on, Mama D. I'm up against the clock, Mama D. Hold on for 1 second. Bring you right back. This is John. This is Blog Talk. I sound like Mama Ebony. What's up? This is Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network Show. What's up, everybody? I know it's been a minute. Y'all know I was stuck with Trump. Let's don't get it twisted. Thank you, everybody, for going back to the Thursday shows and keeping our 86,000 listeners up. You know, I know most of y'all Saturdays and go over and over again, but I appreciate y'all. But my producer, E-Funk Ebony Tillman, is reminding me to tell you all for the holidays, you can go to Tillman Family Press and get Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. And you'll learn a lot what Professor Mother D is talking about, but what you really learn is how we use the Constitution from our existence in here, from slavery, to get the things that we needed here to survive. Earlier, I mentioned about, you know, Benjamin Banneker, who went to the Supreme Court and fought for the free African Americans. Benjamin Banneker, everybody, he just didn't write a clock. It's in my book. Let me check that out. But no, I was trying to say, Ebony, is how, you know, how we use the Second Amendment, freedom of the press, how we can get our stories out, what our anti-mention laws and stories out, how Booker T. Washington used all the laws he did to get to school. We showed how important the Constitution were and is to, well, like I said, Southern strategy. A lot of free blacks were up in Philadelphia, up in Boston, up in New York, up in Chicago, you know, up in these areas, Illinois Territory, and all those areas. You know, where the heart of Renaissance and everything, well, those areas was different from the South areas. But in the South, they needed the Constitution once they became free citizens to migrate and to foster their way through. Think about it. Right after the Civil War, you in the South, South Carolina, you was a slave. You freed yourself and your family by stealing a boat and go fight in the war. You win the war. You go back to South Carolina and become a congressman. Look at that, a slave to a congressman. Only in America can a slave become a man who's making laws and legislation for his whole town, which he was a slave under, only through the Constitution. See, a lot of people don't really understand that. But I'm going to go back here. Got a hard break. Got Professor D coming up. But we're going to sit up here, because I know a lot of people, Mama D, don't understand that they say they can't give reparations to blacks. Whether you understand the reparations or not, whether you think they need it or they don't, whether you think they don't need to give people money or not, whether you think you can't afford it or not, the president that most of you all voted for, not me and not most of my listeners, but I know we got Professor Mother D out there. We're going to put this page out there. I know a lot of her friends and family members and colleagues and students probably voted for Biden, we call him Brandon, but we're going to let y'all know what he's doing and what he's up to. Check this out.
At this stage, there are more questions than answers, and sources cautioned that so many of those final details, whether how...
I was talking to her on the phone and everything, but still not making sure, like, seeing her in person, being able to give her a hug.
For financial compensation. These are families whose children were split from their parents under former President Trump's zero-tolerance policy for illegal border crossing. The parents were separated from their children so they could face prosecution. ABC News reports the Justice Department is considering payments of up to $450,000 to each person impacted by the border separation. Court records show about 5,500 children were split from their parents during this time. The Associated Press reports discussions on the amount of money are still ongoing, and an agreement is not guaranteed. And while many families like the Ortiz family have been reunited, immigration lawyers say it will still take some time for many to connect with loved ones, even though they are now being processed as a unit under the Biden administration.
Relatives or parents who have been deported to Central American countries, to name a few, and how do you locate them, some in rural areas? It is going to be an arduous process.
In terms of this financial compensation, the Justice Department is not commenting on these negotiations. Back from San Ysidro this morning, Marie Cornell, ABC 10 News.
Details whether how the program will work.
This latest caravan passing through Mexico, now numbering in the thousands. These migrants, many from Honduras, Guatemala, Haiti, and El Salvador, stopping for rest.
This ought to be good.
I think so too.
Kelly, at this stage, there are more questions than answers, and sources cautioned that so many of those final details, whether how the program will work or how much money will be paid, are yet to be determined. This is an ongoing settlement negotiation between the U.S. government and lawyers representing those families who were separated, over 5,600 of them, by the Trump administration in what, remember, Physicians for Human Rights, a Nobel laureate organization and nonprofit, deemed torture. It met the U.N.'s definition, as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics, who called this government-sanctioned child abuse at the time. And so when you hear from the former vice president today criticizing the potential settlement, you have to keep all of this in context. But what we are hearing, and sources have told NBC News, is that the sum could be significant. It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars each, which of course could amount to hundreds of millions of dollars if all of the families who were separated by this policy are included. It's also important to note that this is separate and distinct from the reunification effort that's underway and being led by the Biden administration through that Family Separation Reunification Task Force.
A little piece
this
of
is
mine.
A civil case, a tort case being brought against the U.S. government for damages that these families endured as they were separated, oftentimes for many, many months. Some still, 1,000 of those families, remain separated to this day. Around 300 families have yet to be located by those searching for them right now. And it's part of why all of this is still so challenging and a developing situation.
I'd like to ask you real quick, sir, where do you stand? You said last week that this report about migrant families at the border getting payments was garbage.
No, I didn't say that. Get it straight. You said everybody coming across the border gets $450,000.
So the number
that
you have a problem.
Now, here's the thing.
Sure.
If, in fact, because of the outrageous behavior of the last administration, you coming across the border, whether it was legal or illegal, and you lost your child, it's gone, you deserve some kind of compensation, no matter what the circumstances. What that will be, I have no idea.
But you're saying the DOJ negotiating the settlement.
Just wanted to let y'all hear the president himself say that he's going to give them some money. A bunch of Democrats are going to vote the money to give him some money. Matter of fact, if the parliamentarian and the Senate didn't stop it in this Build Back Better bill, they probably got some money, immigration reform. the DREAM Act. You see, people trip on me for going to the party that freed slaves instead of staying the party, you know, that kept everybody on the plantation. I'm not going to get on my soapbox because who knows, I might need people like y'all to vote for me, but let's keep on hunting. They can't give that to descendant of slaves. If they can give that to the immigrants that are coming over here, that are getting in line in front of the American citizens who are standing in line for Section 8 housing, who probably been in that line for 5 years and probably got their number called, but oops, another family's coming in. Or they tell you here in the Welfare Reform Act, you probably limited with 2, maybe 3 children, but here comes somebody over here with 10 kids and they get welfare. And all their kids get welfare and they get tax funded. But is that fair that you being an American, you can't get that, but your Democratic representatives want to feel that way? Because some reason, for some reason, see, I don't think that way. I'm on the right side. I'm right brain. I'm not left brained. For some reason, people on the left feel that it's okay to give away their blessings. People feel that it's okay to give away the land that their forefathers fought for. You know, before I come back to you, Mama D, let me get up my soapbox for a second. Let me give it to you. When I came up in the 80s, they gave us a lot of TV programming, like the story of Miss Jane Pittman, Martin Luther King. You even saw the best and famous and foremost that every one of us saw. Gives a whole week of it. Roots. Now, you as an American can look at Roots two ways. You can look at it as the Southern Strategist and the CRTs and most of the disenfranchised Southern blacks. I like to say that. Southern black Americans. You can look at it in their perspective. And this is their perspective is. Kunta came over here, got his foot cut off, he got beat, Toby and Kizzy got raped. Basically, and Tom got his son, you know, grandson. You remember all the pain in the Roots. What people hardly very rarely talk about in Roots is the most famous character. You see, Kunta wasn't the famous character. The most famous character wasn't Fiddler. See, Fiddler was the most famous character. The most famous character wasn't John. The most famous character was Chicken George. You see, Chicken George is what I will call a true descendant of a slave. Now, dig this. Chicken George. Daddy raped his mama. So you get this half slave descendant with this little mixture of this little white man raping him. What did he do? He was a slave owner, but, you know, he brought him up, had him slave, still his boy, slave, fighting for him. But in Chicken George's story, what do? He sees somebody off like, man, hey, what's up with you? Dude said, well, I'm a free man. Me and my man got a partnership. He said, you're a free man? I said, yeah. I saved up my money and bought my freedom. Now, what they don't want to tell you that, you know, slavery was a choice. They want to laugh at you, but history tells you that you could have bought your freedom. Some slave owners granted their freedom. Some people ran away for freedom. Some people chose to stay a slave. I ain't trying to get it twisted. I'm just trying to go. Let me finish the story of Roots. Anyway, so Chicken George buys his freedom. Chicken George goes off, fights in the war with the North, with Lincoln to free his people who was enslaved. Think about it. He frees himself from slavery, goals in the war, like so many of them did. Like I mentioned in my book, even some of them became congressmen, like I mentioned in my book, went off and fought for the war to free their family members who were enslaved. Now, just like in America, if you remember the movie, I don't want to say, oh, what's his name? John, what was his name? Let me get his son's name. Wrong. Todd, John, I can't think of his name. Anyway, I can remember his brother running, Lincoln won, we free the slaves, we're free. And he's like, man, I don't mean nothing. We still out here. We're going to be never super. So he start working on the fields, right? Start working on the fields. And I hear it, and I trip on people nowadays saying, like, man, how can everybody still be in slavery? Like the Juneteenth. How can everybody still be in slavery? It was free. And in Roots, it shows you just a little sample of it, how Tom, it was Tom, how Tom couldn't believe that it was free. Now, if you follow Tom's story, everybody in that town was trying to keep the status quo, even though they was free. You see the formation of the Klan, the Democratic Society, to scare those people who just acquired land and the sharecropping, they can't count, they can't read. You remember that? They're getting all over on them. But yet they stayed there. They stayed there. See, people don't talk about that part of the Roots, where those freed people stayed there. Take up Chicken George at the end of the movie. Guns blazing. Come on, family, let's go out of here. Let's go. We ain't going. I got land. I got land. Let's go. He had to go back, cause up a ruckus just to get his people off the reservation and plantation to get them to enjoy some free land. Now, people always look at the Kente, but don't look at the conditioning that we had in that movie and what Chicken George had to do. Because at any time I got land, y'all can go. The slavery is over. I done fought for the war. I got my papers. I can go anywhere. I'm a free man. Come on, son. But they wanted to stay. They had land. I guess they're sharecropping, but they was still under control of the powers that be. So when I say Southern strategy, you can look at this mindset of Tom and his family, even though their grandfather or their father fought for freedom, come back to everybody, hey, you're free. But they didn't want to go at it. See, that's a part of our trip on Roots. And we always put ourselves in that mindset, like, why? You know, but that was my little plantation. We got about 15 minutes. So I'm going to bring Mama D back on here. And we're going to still deal with, you see, because I always say that even though our people were slaves, because I'm a Southern black, my people from the South, so I ain't like these Boston, Northern, Harlem Renaissance cats that were, you know, that fought for the war and free. I ain't one of them. You know, my people from the South. You know, so when I look at the mentality of why, when, like me being born up north, you ask people, why y'all leave? Why all that happened? And like I said, freedom was a choice. But being a historian, there's one reason. Maybe they think it's cowardly. They don't speak about it. Maybe they think it's cowardly. But there's one reason, people, why a lot of blacks really didn't leave. Now, Tom didn't have that problem because his family was intact and everything like that, and they've been moved. But a lot of people didn't leave those plantations because some of those people grew up and on that land. Their mama, their grandmama, their great, some of them were still buried there. So they felt that most of their ancestors, they didn't want to go nowhere else. A lot of people don't tell that story and want to admit that, but that's one of the reasons. But outside of that reason, fear kept a lot of us, and fear is keeping a lot of us, and fear the reason why a lot of us are going through the things we're going through right now. Fear is the reason why we're giving up all our birthrights right now to another race of illegal people who are came over here conquering us like a war, making us speak their language like a war, taking our jobs from us like a war, and we are not fighting back. We are willfully giving up our authority. Now, there are other nationalities. Other immigrants are also here in this country, but we're not bending over backwards for the Polish community. We're not bending over backwards for the Scandinavians, the Pashtuns, the Afghans, the Muslim-speaking, the Chinese, just the Latin-speaking people. And it's not fair, but I'm going to bring you back in, Mama D. And people, I'm sorry for the there's a, like a three-minute, a two-minute pause break. I don't know what happened. We under some type of, we got new equipment, and I pressed the wrong button. Please forgive me, though. Let me bring you back, Professor D, in, and we're going to wrap this up the next last 15 minutes we got. Now, let's go back to this Snake of the Grass Bill, John Lewis Voting Rights Act that is stripping us from any participation in this bill, and how this bill is really granting illegal citizens of almost all nationalities to say so in our elections. Are you there, Mama? You there? Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, there you go. I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. That Snake in the Grass Bill, I think that's a good, fair description. But I wanted to say something about Chicken George. You know, Chicken George was the grandson of Kenty Kunté. And his mother was Kizzy. What was important is he always resisted, his grandfather always resisted enslavement, and he passed that African history on down to his daughter, who passed it on down to her son, Chicken George, who was very talented because he fought chickens. He won the chicken fight. And that made him a very important man, so important that he could even be called Chicken George. But I wanted to say that the Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954 concluded that segregation laws were unconstitutional because they only existed to keep the status of the Negro down, not everybody, but the Negro down. The Dred Scott decision of 1857 didn't say everybody. It said blacks have no rights. It didn't say people of color. And that term, people of color, is reverse segregation. When I was coming up in the days of Jim Crow genocide, I didn't appreciate being frozen out of the human family because my skin was black. Little white children don't feel good about the human family because their skin is white. You cannot erase slavery history without erasing the history of the enslaved. Both of us are being cut out. But Reverend Dr. Prophet King said these words, that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners shall sit at that table of brotherhood together. That's where we are now, because together we have the numbers, and I believe that we love this country that we have built, and we're not just going to give it up without a fight to some people that have broken into the country, and our government officials are giving them all kinds of incentives and reparations and just handing our country over to some sanctuary settlers.
But why are the people angry about this? I hear you on a lot of programming, especially Al Sharpton. So that's a nationwide audience. Be on Mama Show, nationwide audience. Be on Via Win Show. I got you here. You get your own programming. Why aren't Black Americans angry that their leadership is giving away all the rights that their forefathers birthed for? Let me give you, I know I got time, but this is one thing, me being a historian. One thing I did learn when you study the history of, it's different between Black American history. We see history is the Southern Black Americans. you know, because the true descendant of slavery, the Southern Black Americans, right? If you sit back and see all the things that they went to. Ebony, we got a call. See, Chicken's called out. And, well, listen, call. We got about 10 minutes. I'll bring you in here. Matter of fact, I don't know. Because we got 9 minutes. I don't know what you answer. Just jump in what you're saying because we got about 10 or so minutes. Who's this right here, 336?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Hello? No, I can't hear. We just brought you in. So if you want to just listen, I'm going to put you back on and have Ebony see about this caller. But no, why are the Southern, why are blacks not upset or outraged that this is taking place? Why are they?
Because we are perishing for lack of knowledge, and our leaders are leading us astray. Malcolm X said, if you get a hold to that media was the most powerful entity on earth, it could make an innocent man guilty and a guilty man innocent because it controls the minds of the masses. This is what the masses are. Their minds are controlled. They are like wind-up robots. We hate Trump. We hate Trump. Well, why? We hate Trump. They don't know why. And this is what's happening. It is once you control a man's mind, you don't have to tell him to go to the back door. He'll go automatically, and if there is no back door, he'll hew one out. And this is what has happened to us. We have not been repaired from not just the damage of 246 years of not even being human, followed by 88 years of subhuman treatment, followed by 11 years of marching, trying to get it straight. And that is 345 years federal laws, crimes against our humanity, and Jim Crow genocide. And the first thing we have to do is claim who we are, and then we can claim what belongs to us. We have got to get Africa off of African Americans and be American Africans. American is on your passport, not Africa. And the people living on the continent of Africa do not claim the continent. They claim a country. They say, I'm from Ghana or Nigeria or Kenya. We've been claiming African American. It's just like Barack Obama said, that word black, it has no standing in law. So
but you know, Mama
T, there's no country called that. So we got to name ourselves. We are indigenous Native American Africans. And
but let's
we
cut you off, Mama
G. Get that straight first and foremost.
Let's cut you off in the last 5 minutes, you know, because I was had a little more longer time. But this is tripping me out because we got an election coming up and all around. And so I'd like to tell people how important this election is because it's not only on that John Lewis Voting Rights Act. It's on the outcome of the sexuality of your children, the perversion nation of what they perverse, the perverting of your child's mind, the miseducation not only America but your children by shutting down your schools. You see, it's so much right now when they say voting has consequences. You turn around now, and during this time, they're passing laws where they're telling you that there's nothing that you can do or say to a teacher if she decides that your boy is a girl because he told me, and you better not make this boy differently. A son, a daddy took his boy to the school, teacher changed the boy around, and there's nothing he can do about it. A girl goes to the bathroom, a man is in there, there's nothing his father can do about it. You see, these are the things that are coming around, and it's the fact that of the matter that us as a community are not taking responsibility of the things, like it's a lot of black people fought for voting for Trump. Now, I mean, voting against Trump. And now we're getting all these bastard teachings to our children. We're getting all this perverted teaching, perverted thoughts to our children who have no idea what sex is. A third, somebody 4, 5, and 6 have no idea what sexuality is. Just acting out of emotions and playing. Tomboys are tomboys. soft boy is a soft, ain't no girl, it's a soft boy. And there's no need to, see, but this is an important election coming out. And what I'd like to say in the next couple of minutes, I'm giving you a minute, Mama D, what I'd like to say is I'd like to have you probably on once a week if you can find one of these topic issues that you think that the community should know about. Because a lot of, I mean, with a lot of people, and they don't believe that the black community is upset at these things, Mama D, because they keep up with the same people over and over again that are destroying our people. And it don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? We're not dumb. And we try to tell people, inform people what's up. But what do you think we're doing wrong? In 1 minute, Mama D, what do you think we're doing wrong?
First of all, I'd love to come on once a week. But we spiritually speaking, we are on the wrong side. Children are a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You cannot be on God's side and be killing babies, and there's no term limit on when you can kill them. And if they're born at 8 or 9 months, then you will make them comfortable until a mom decides how to execute it. We are just morally bankrupt, and we have got to get it together. Our problem is not money. It's the lack of morality. So that's what our focus should be. But we must name ourselves, claim what is ours, and name the English language, which is our mother tongue language, and abolish these sanctuary laws that put other people above the law and keep us beneath it.
Well, thank you, Mama D. I'm going to try to have Ebony get back up with you. Now, Ebony informed me that, what's the code word, Ebony?
Snow 15.
Snow 15, that's S-N-O-W 15, all caps at TillmanFamilyPress.com. And you get a discount on the book for the holidays of Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. And I guess I'll see you next Monday, Mama D. I think you're being on. Is there anywhere my people can find you or see you at, can locate you?
Female Solution, our calling number with Mama D. It's this Saturday, 12 to 2 p.m., 515-605-9325, or call me at 773-RESPECT, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's my phone number, 737-7328.
All right, thank you, Mama G.
Everybody, stay blessed.
All right, stay blessed.
And happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, hold on, Mama D. Say it again, Mama D. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Back.
Christmas.
And Merry Christmas,
773 respect.
All right, that's Professor Mama D.
That's my phone number.
There you go, everybody. You can find me at Jimmy Leader DC. Yeah, it's going down. The countdown is on. The countdown is on, everybody. We'll let y'all know in a couple of minutes, but check out MartinLutherKingRepublicans.com. Follow us to see what we're doing. The 773 respect for Mother D. We're going to try to bring it back on next Monday, what have you. We'll be on tomorrow. We'll see. We're trying to get all these little candidates trying to do something on the GOP side. I ain't vouch for nobody because, you know what I'm saying, we're going to give everybody an opportunity, you know, because we got to do the Jimmy Lee thing. But thank you for everybody for being here. And you know where we're from God's country. G-O-D, everybody love the Most High. Let's hit it, Ebony.
Time, lay me 6 feet